Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, I'm Roland Martin. Next on News One Now, another shooting out of Minnesota. Actually, the aftermath captured on a Facebook Live video by the man's girlfriend. He is dead. It is chilling video. You will be shocked and stunned when you see it. Also, protests continue out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The death of Alton Sterling. He was the man gunned down outside of a convenience store where he was selling CDs. The police chief, the mayor come forward. Cops involved on administrative leave. We have their names. Also, the U.S. Attorney's Office, they are now over the case. We'll talk to members of his family. We'll hear from community activists that also captured on tape, as well as the NAACP leader. Arrested and killed behind bars. Details are in surveillance video, but police aren't releasing the tape. We'll hear from the victims in Oklahoma, from the brother and the family attorney. A stunning case out of Oklahoma as well. Also, folks, we'll also show you the reaction from a police officer to the shooting of Alton Sterling. Wait until you hear what this sister has to say. It's time to bring the funk on News One Now and TV One.
He is 15 years old. He had to watch this as this was put all over the outlet.
An emotional reaction yesterday at the news conference of the family of Alton Sterling. He, of course, is the man shot and killed by two cops in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as a result of this particular shooting. Yesterday, the police chief announced the U.S. Attorney's Office, they are taking over this particular case. Also, the Department of Justice, Civil Rights Division, have launched an investigation as well. The protesters are saying that simply is not enough. It was caused yesterday for the police chief to step down, but at yesterday's news conference, he said absolutely not. He would not be resigning. He would not be stepping down. Yesterday in the news conference as well, the police chief announced the names of the two officers, Howie Lake II, Blaine Salamani, both of them 3- and 4-year veterans of the Baton Rouge Police Department. But not only have we seen that particular video, yesterday, a new video was released from a different angle showing what took place. Let me warn you, it is absolutely graphic as you see Alton Sterling being shot and killed. Now, folks, what you see there is after Alton Sterling was shot and killed, you see police officers removing the gun from his pocket. That's after the shooting took place. Now, one of the reasons we had the initial video is because an organization, Stop the Killing, led by Arthur Reed, they actually heard about this on the police scanner and raced to the scene. Arthur Reed joins us right now via phone from Baton Rouge. Arthur, welcome to TV One.
Hey, Roland Martin, thank you for having us on.
So, first and foremost, as we're talking to you, this is the cover of today's New York Daily News, where they have a photo of the officer pointed the gun at Alton Sterling as he lay dead with the headline, "His hands were empty. Cops killed Alton Sterling even though he was pinned to the ground and never pulled gun." Arthur, your organization goes to the scenes of various incidents to specifically videotape what takes place between cops and citizens, correct?
Well, what we actually videotape is any acts of violence that take place in the city, because we run a youth mentoring program, and we use those raw footages to try to curb those individuals out of the life that they may be headed into. So it's basically all type of acts of violence, not just between police and citizens.
So what happened in this case? Someone from your organization heard the police scanner?
Well, we listen every night for those type of incidents or anything that may take place so that we can get that footage. And individuals from a team actually captured that footage, and we didn't know what we had until it was turned over, and we started looking at it and say, okay, well, this is something. So it was set on, and then it was released at the proper time is what we can say.
And Arthur, why is it so important? Because first of all, what we now know is that, according to the police chief, the body cameras of the officers apparently fell apart, came down while this actually took place. And so if it wasn't for the video being recorded, we wouldn't know what happened.
It would be another case where they were saying that he was reaching for a gun, which was what the initial accusations were. But the second angle video, and that's why that video was stagnated as well, because we wanted to see what they were going to try to say, shows that he wasn't reaching for a gun. In fact, if you had blown that video up, because it was on one of the nightly talk shows last night, national shows, they blowed the video up. You can see the other officer taking the young man's hands when he put them on his chest, and he would pull them back down to his side, take him and pull him back down to the side, and then holler that he had a gun while his hands was pinned down to the concrete and officers straddling him. So this is definitely a murder. This is an execution that has taken place. And, of course, you know, it isn't the first time, but unfortunately we have a problem getting these individuals taken to justice. It's almost like they have a license to kill, Roland.
This is obviously captured the attention of the country. And yesterday there was a news conference there in Baton Rouge. The head of the NAACP, I'll talk to him in a second, called for the resignation of the police chief. The mayor stepped forward as well, talked about how inclusive of a community Baton Rouge is. Your assessment of what you heard yesterday from city officials?
A bunch of lies. When it comes down to this being a close-knitted community, this has been a divided community ever since the Jim Crow era. It's a community of two different kind of black folks, those black folks that will push the boat and other black folks that will stand on the shore and tell us that the boat don't need pushing. So we have two different type of black folks here in Louisiana, especially in Baton Rouge. The mayor has done a poor job of being a part of the black community. This is a young man that was murdered, and the mayor has not shown his face to any of the virgins. He has not come out and talked to the family. The mayor is being pro-police, knowing that the police have been the biggest agitators and oppressors of the black community here in Baton Rouge. This is the third murder that we have had this year, and when you start talking about what's going on in the community with these police, they try to paint you as being anti-police. We're not anti-police. We're anti-injustice. We're anti-against you oppressing us and keeping your foot on our necks at all times. So basically, when you look at the area where this happened, Eden Park, South Baton Rouge, and Skylandville, they're treated like they're on the plantation with police pulling them over, searching them every single day. If they go to the store, they get frisked and put on cars or hide in hoods and stay out there for hours sometimes. Does that make the whole police force bad? No, Roland. But what we believe and what we already know, because we have to stand on what we know, is that they are individuals inside of the police force that are in a secret organization, and their mission is to kill black individuals. We see it all across America. We know this, but we can't just say it because then they label us as being haters. But these are the biggest terrorists, these thugs with badges that are out killing individuals. And it's clear that the video can't lie, and that's why we have the video out there the way that we do. And we have to stand on what we have done, because we understand that we have put our life on the line. But if we can't find something to die for that's a righteous cause, then we don't need to be living at this time.
Arthur Reed, we certainly appreciate you joining us, and we'll be chatting with you, obviously, more so over the next several days and several weeks.
Thank you so much.
Joining us right now, folks, is the owner of Triple S Food Mart, Abdullah Muflali, who recorded video of the shooting. First of all, do we not have the store owner? Okay, folks, so we had booked the store owner and his attorney, Joel Porter, and hopefully we will have them on the phone very soon. But folks, please let me know when we actually have them on the line. Yesterday, as I mentioned, that was a news conference. It took place with city officials yesterday. Here's what they had to say.
We want to make sure that we ensure the integrity of this investigation. That's why I'm happy to see the Justice Department step in.
What I'm calling for today is that the chief law enforcement officer, which is the mayor, to fire the chief of police immediately. Yes. I demand for the chief to be fired immediately. Yes.
I don't plan on resigning. We have done a lot of good in this community. We have worked very hard in this community. Do we have an issue right now? Yes. But we are working diligently to bring the truth out. And if anybody's got to be held accountable, well, that starts with me, because I'm the chief.
One of them scheme was like gun, shot him 3 times. Then they're telling him, get on the floor. He's already on the floor. They shot him 3 times already. Then they shoot him another 3 times.
And if you look at the video, it certainly speaks for itself. Mr. Sterling was not reaching for a weapon. He looks like a man who's trying to get his head up, who's actually fighting for his life.
Based on the information that I have obtained from law enforcement, but certainly the footage that I observed of the video that was made available, I have very serious concerns. The video is disturbing, to say the least. And at this time, I'm asking for leaders in the faith-based community, elected officials, and other community leaders here in Baton Rouge to work with me, to work with all of us, to ensure that we remain calm and peaceful as the details continue to unfold.
As a mother, I have now been forced to raise a son who is going to remember what happened to his father that I can't take away from him. As this video has been shared across the world, you will see with your own eyes how he was handled unjustly and killed without regard for the lives that he helped raise.
Folks, also, Issa Rae, who is a producer, a director, and also an actress, has put together a GoFundMe page. They've raised more than, exceeded $40,000+ for the family of Alton Sterling. I'll pull it up in just a second to give you the latest in terms of where they stand. I want to go right now to our panel, Barbara Arnwine, founding president of the Transformative Justice Coalition, Huey Newsom, contributor for Project 21's National Leadership Network of Black Conservatives, Lauren Victoria Burke, managing editor for Politic365.com. Folks, when you look at this particular case, yes, the two cops are on administrative leave. I do think it is important that beyond the Department of Justice launching a civil rights probe, the U.S. Attorney's Office is the one, Barbara, that is handling this investigation, not the state Bureau of Investigation, not the local DA, but the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Well, I think that's important, but the real problem here is Leobord, right? Which is the process that gives the police what's called their Bill of Rights, meaning that in the state of Louisiana, you cannot force a police officer to give any statement. Up to 30 days, he has the right to get in a counsel, and until he has a counsel, within 30 days, you can't question him.
So you mean tell me that in the case of these two officers, typically in most states,
yes,
after a shooting, there's an immediate interview for the officer as that way they can speak right after. It's fresh in their minds what happened. The state law in Louisiana says they don't have to talk even to the police department for 30 days?
That's correct. They cannot be questioned. And, you know, what's going on is that the Leobord was created in 1974 following the Supreme Court's cases in Garrity and in Gardner, where basically the Supreme Court said police had obligations not to shoot people when fleeing, not to do other things to make police more accountable. And what happened was the Fraternal Order of Police, their Grand Lodge, launched a campaign of legislation. 14 states, as of April last year, had already adopted these laws, including Maryland was the first state. Maryland, they have 7 days to not have to give a statement. And in most states, they give between 7 and 30 days.
And this is one of the most fundamental problems I think people have, Huey and Lauren, with this. It's because, again, a different set of rules for cops.
Right. Exactly. No,
why in the world would you say a cop cannot give a statement up to 30 days after a shooting when the best time is literally
right after, in the hours after a shooting, where it is freshest in your mind, as opposed to, oh, I can go back and wait and then come up with another rationale.
We don't force police in America to have, there is no system of accountability for police in America for the most part, as there is for our military. I mean, you could not imagine these videos coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. If there were two Marines holding a guy down in Afghanistan and shot him in that manner, they would be in trouble, or if it was Walter Scott or anything else. So there's a system of accountability for our military. There is not a system of accountability, a system of excuses for our police.
Protection.
We make excuses for our police.
Protection.
You know, it's a tough job, it's this, it's that. And frankly, if you watch a lot of these cops, if you see what's going on, you're seeing a certain age group of cops. You're not seeing, you know, veteran officers. You're seeing younger officers.
In this case,
three and four years
on the force.
And so we're going to, you know, there'll be excuses. He reached for something.
Shelly pulled the photos up of the cops.
And so there is no accountability for our police. And as you saw, they panicked in the case of Mr. Sterling. They panicked. They totally panicked at the end, and the gun goes off. They had no control over the situation.
Because here, if you actually see the original video that we saw, guys, please pull that video up. You see them talking to Alton Sterling,
yeah,
and all of a sudden, you see a cop playing linebacker,
right,
and like charges right. a guy when right. no. When first, and let's dial it back. They get a 911 phone call.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Woman says, black guy outside of a store selling CDs. The store owner knew the guy, and hopefully we can get the store owner on the phone as soon as possible, guys. Said the guy was well known.
Right.
The guy gave money to people, gave CDs out, helped people.
Yes.
Cops are to come on to a scene, Hewitt, and you would think, de-escalate the situation. Sir, we got a phone call, exactly what is going on. Guy talks to him, blah, 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 blah. I'm just trying to understand, how does it escalate to, let me bum rush and tackle this guy?
Because we don't have a standard operating procedure. I think Lauren talked about it. We don't have a standard operating procedure for cops. We know we're not good. The chances of us getting a national standard operating procedure for police engagement is improbable. But at the state level, we have to get involved and start asking for tangible things. We know that these engagements are wrong. I mean, if you look at what happened in Louisiana, if you look at what happened in Ferguson, if you look at what happened in New York, all these, there are different problems with the way police are engaging us. We need to start demanding very specific
right. And the requirements in Baton Rouge are very low. In New York, you have to have 2 years of military, 2 years of college, you have to have some life experience on most departments. Baton Rouge, you don't have that.
But then,
you could be a 21-year-old cop on the street.
But here's the other piece. This, to me, again, fundamentally, when cops don't go to jail,
mm-hmm.
yes.
when cops don't have to pay the ultimate crime,
right.
I can pretty much do what I want because I pretty much know I'm going to get off.
Oh, absolutely right.
But also, let's deal with this, everyone. More than 80% of all police officers, all police forces, that is, receive money from the Department of Justice. They receive mm-hmm. federal funding.
Right.
The Department of Justice could condition. There's no yeah. reason why they can't condition their funding and say that in order for you to get that federal funding, you must have an independent investigation.
Barbara, the Department of Justice,
My point is to Huey's point is that you it could be different. It's not different because we're not doing the
right.
job.
And Lauren, we saw North Carolina, by the Department of Justice, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, came out and threatened North Carolina that they will pull federal funds when it came to transgender bathrooms. So where's the news conference?
That's the priority. See, that's the priority for this administration. African Americans have never been a top priority for this administration. And our issues, of course, are life and death.
Right.
You know, these other issues, I'm not saying that the gay agenda or the immigration agenda is not important, but those are not life and death issues.
It all comes down to money, right? Because you still have labor that's working on behalf of police that has the ear of Washington right now.
No, it comes down to advocacy.
Nobody is
in the president's ear right now making a demand.
Hold tight 1 second, folks, because we come back. Again, we're trying to get the store owner there in Baton Rouge on the phone with his lawyer as well, plus the head of the NAACP in Baton Rouge. And when we come back, I'm going to show you literally, we were on social media last night, and within hours of what took place in Baton Rouge, a woman
used Facebook Live to stream the aftermath of a boyfriend being shot by an officer in Minnesota. He has died. Folks, when you see this video, you will be stunned. 20 after the hour, News One Now on TV One.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, folks, late last night, we're on social media. Then all of a sudden, we saw these reports out of Minnesota of a woman using Facebook Live, which is their live streaming app, to live stream the aftermath of her boyfriend being shot by a police officer. The boyfriend, Philando Castillo. They were both in the car. They were pulled over by an officer for a busted taillight. His girlfriend, she's been identified as Diamond Reynolds, live streamed this. Here is the beginning of that live stream.
I will, sir. No worries. I will. He just shot his arm off. We got pulled over on Larpiner.
I told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand off
it. You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license. Oh, my God. Please don't tell me he's dead. Please don't tell me my boyfriend just went like that.
Keep your hands where they are, please.
Yes, I will, sir. I'll keep my hands where they are. Please don't tell me this, Lord. Please, Jesus, don't tell me that he's gone. Please don't tell me that he's gone. Please, officer, don't tell me that you just did this to him. You shot 4 bullets into him, sir. He was just getting his license and registration, sir. It was a Chinese police officer that shot him. He's Chinese. He's about 5'5", 5'6 and a half, heavy set guy. He asked him for his license and registration, which was in the back of his pocket because he keeps his wallet in his pocket. And as he went to reach, he let the officer know before he was reaching that he had a firearm on him. And before he can let the officer know anything, the officer took off shots. About 4 or 5 rounds was shot. And my boyfriend, I don't know what condition he's in. I don't know if he's okay or if he's not okay.
Well, folks, later that night, We find out that Philando Castillo did indeed die of those wounds. This right now, folks, this is the photo of Philando Castillo. You saw him in the car pleading with the officer. This is a photo of Philando Castillo. There have been some reports that pulled up that he worked as a janitor, was still, as a cafeteria supervisor at a Montessori school, 32 years old. This, folks, is a live look. Outside of the governor's home in Minnesota. Protesters are already there. This is the live look right now. Also this morning, the St. Anthony Interim Police Chief says the officer who shot Castillo is on paid administrative leave. Please stick with the live shot, please. The officer is described as a 5-year veteran of the force. And again, these are protesters in Minnesota outside of the governor's mansion. I want to go to, stay on this shot, please. I want to go to our panel. This is, again, folks, for her to use live streaming, I go back to Baton Rouge. We are hearing this woman talk.
Yes.
We're hearing this woman talk. Guys, do me a favor. I want you to give me a split screen of this. I want you to give me a split screen of her video, please. You hear her describing immediately after.
Yes.
What took place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She says the young man said, "Officer, I have a permit for a concealed weapon.
Yeah.
I am getting my ID out."
That he requested.
Now, here's the deal. Mm-hmm. If you're the officer, you need to actually wait to see some form of ID.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you have to.
Well, we've seen cases where people have been shot at the request of the ID. The guy at the gas station, I think it was in South Carolina, the ID was requested, the officer shot him, the officer was prosecuted for that moment. So it's not as if this is new. But this idea that somehow the law applies equally to African Americans and everybody else when
who
it comes
cares
to open carry is of course, out the window. We've had a guy in Atlanta walking through Atlanta's airport with AK-47 on his shoulder, and nothing happened to him. The cops approached him, they talked to him, and that was it. And he did that to display the power of his Second Amendment rights. So obviously, you know, there's a difference in the law here that's very obvious in these videos.
Not only that, I mean, all of these laws, stand your ground, all of these are disparately applied when it comes to African Americans. I think, you know, the situation here, we're lucky that she was in a particular form of shock that made her calm. And because she could have very well been shot and killed, her child was in the back seat of this car while they're shooting. It just shows that we got this whole stereotype of black people, black men, black women as being criminally, you know, crazy and dangerous, and you should just shoot them. Also, as we also know, there's this whole police mentality that blacks who are quote non-compliant are to be treated like a rabid dog. You put them down, you just kill them. And I really believe that we have to demand right now, everybody, no more protests, no more petitions, no more news conference. Black folks, anybody who cares, it's time for national economic action. It's time for us to change and flip the script.
We have to demand things in our advocacy. We don't demand anything.
Right.
Everybody endorses Hillary Clinton without any demand on these issues,
but
they don't get anything
But also, I go back to what I said earlier in terms of cops having to pay. But also, I believe it's important that you have to have, because I'm tired of hearing about all these good cops.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have cops who are willing to stand up. Folks, this is a radio interview yesterday. The guy is Rosenberg, if I'm correct, with a radio show. So a cop called into his radio show, and listen to what he tells his officer.
Y'all don't ever want to point at someone else and say, you can't do your job well. Right. I can tell you right now, if I heard a radio personality get on the air and do something irresponsible, I'd go, that's a bad radio personality.
Yes.
He does a bad job.
Yes.
Police officers never want to say when y'all do a bad job. So and that's the reason the public thinks all of you are bad. Because you won't ever call someone out and say, they murdered someone. In cold blood, it happened again. And until you guys start taking responsibility for your own, people in the street are going to be upset instead. So how about y'all lead the movement instead? How about instead of people rioting, police officers get out in front of it themselves, and you guys are the first ones on the front lines?
St. Paul Police. That will never happen.
One second. So a police officer, Nakia Jones. First of all, guys, take out the video out of a Minnesota, please, out of my ear. Nakia Jones posted this video last night on Facebook.
Nakia Jones, my son came home from work today and he showed me a disturbing video about a young man that was shot and killed by police in Louisiana. And it's so funny because my son wanted to go to college there. And I kept saying, I ain't feeling that or whatever. What's interesting is to me is that the shooting involved a police officer. And I watched the video over and over and over and over and over again so that I wouldn't become judgmental. Because not only am I a mother of two African-American sons, and I have African-American nephews, and I have brothers, I'm also a person that wears the uniform with the blue. I'm also the one that gives their lives and puts their lives in danger. I wear blue. So I'm looking at it, and I became so furious and so hurt because it bothers me when I hear people say, y'all police officers this, y'all police officers that, and they put us in this negative category when I'm saying to myself, I'm not that type of police officer. I know officers that are like me that will give their life for other people. So I'm looking at it, and it tore me up because I got to see what you all see. If I wasn't a police officer and I wasn't on the inside, I would be saying, look at this racist stuff. Look at this. And it hurt me.
First of all, I became officer in 1996. I grew up in the hood, so I ain't grew up in the suburbs. I grew up on 93rd and Kansas. We moved to East Cleveland, so I know what it is. So the reason why I became a police officer was to make a difference in people's lives. I knew what it was like to have a parent on drugs. I knew what it was like to watch people be picked on and bullied on and all kinds of things. I said, I want to make a difference. I want to be that change. So I became that change. So in 96, I took an oath in East Cleveland, sitting in front of Chief Guy, and said, I will serve and protect my community by all costs. Even if it meant I wouldn't go home to my one-year-old daughter. And that's what I did. And I did it with integrity and respect. No. The thing that hurt me most of all was that a lot of people that I was arresting were the same color as me, that grew up in East Cleveland like me, so I couldn't understand that. Why would you want to destroy your community? I couldn't understand. I said, okay, but they're not sworn to serve and protect either. They're not, they didn't take that oath. This is what they do. So then I left there and I came to another predominantly black community and became a police officer. I'm the first and only African-American female officer, and I can say that pride and respect. I sat in front of Marcia Fudge and took that oath that I would serve and protect my community. And I also moved into my community and I raised my children in this community. I wear that blue uniform proudly. And I know for a fact I have six beautiful children that love me. And I have a husband, I have a family that loves me. And I know there's times I may not come home from work. I have taken guns off 15, 14, 13-year-old children. I'm talking about real guns. I have had to go and tell a mother that their 13-year-old son or daughter was not coming home. I've interviewed rape victims that's been raped by people that look just like me, the same color as me. We are running around killing each other left and right. But what hurts me the most is the people that stood in front of a judge and stood in front of a mayor and said, I swear my oath that I will serve and protect this community. And God, please forgive me, and you can delete me if you get mad at me. If you are white and you working in a black community and you are racist, you need to be ashamed of yourself. You stood up there and took an oath. If this is not where you want to work at, then you need to take your behind somewhere else. I decided to work in an African-American community because I'm African-American and I wanted to make a difference. I could have worked in Parma. I could have worked in Lakewood. I could have worked in North Homestead. I'm a double minority. They would have got two hits for me because I'm African-American and I'm a female. I'm here because I wanted to make a difference. But how dare you stand next to me in the same uniform and murder somebody? How dare you? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. So why don't we just keep it real? If you're that officer that know good and well you got a God complex, you're afraid of people that don't look like you, you have no business in that uniform. Take it off. If you're afraid to go and talk to an African-American female or male or a Mexican male or female because they're not white like you, take the uniform off. You have no business being a police officer. Because there's many of us that would give our life for anybody. And we took this oath and we meant it. If you are that officer that's prejudiced, take the uniform off and put the KKK hoodie on. Because I will not stand for that. If you're an officer that works with me and you're wrong, I will tell you you're wrong. My heart goes out to that young man's family. Because if it was my son, I don't know what I would do.
Go to our panel.
Well,
that was powerful.
That was powerful.
It's a little bit two different issues going on there, though. The issues in the black community with regard to black on black violence and issues of state violence are two different issues.
But she's making the point. She's making the point as a black officer.
Right.
But she's making it perfectly clear. And it was the shooting video that caused her to say to fellow officers.
Right.
And again, I believe that's one of the fundamental problems. And we keep hearing good officers. Mm-hmm. This is one who is saying, I got people in blue. They don't need to be in uniform.
But for some reason, we don't tell police that, look, if you can't handle the pressure and you can't handle the job, don't take the job. We don't tell cops that. We tell our military that, but we don't tell cops that.
I think that there are a lot of good police officers that have given voice. They just don't have the megaphone, right?
Anybody can talk in
the No, I disagree, because we saw it in Baltimore, an officer who actually spoke, who said he was targeted. You see that all around the country. The blue line, they stick together.
Well, we got to be very clear, everyone. First of all, where did policing come from in the United States, everyone? It came out of slavery. It came out of patrolling and controlling black bodies. And we got to be very clear that that's the history, that's the culture that inculcates all police departments. And we're wrong if we don't realize that white supremacist groups around this country have targeted police departments to infiltrate. And that that's one of the other problems.
Right.
And they are out there to kill and shoot us.
Gotta go,
we got to control them.
Got to go to a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about a case out of Oklahoma. Man behind bars killed. Correction officers don't want to release the surveillance video. It's there. They don't want to release it. We'll talk to the victim's brother and the family attorney. Next, News One Now, TV One.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Folks, in Oklahoma, a stunning story that, again, we are quite familiar with. A black man arrested for a nonviolent crime ends up dead behind bars at the hands of corrections officers. Darius Robinson, arrested in April in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He was taken into custody on a warrant for failure to pay child support and transported to KDO County, Oklahoma, a city southwest of Oklahoma City. While behind bars, jailers say Robinson was acting strange, so they handcuffed, pepper sprayed, and used an illegal chokehold to subdue him. That chokehold was so strong, the medical examiner said the hyoid bone in Robinson's neck was crushed. His death has been ruled as a homicide. A video camera caught the entire ordeal on tape, but law enforcement officials refused to release the footage, citing their interpretation of the state's open records law. Today, the family continues to search for answers as they prepare to sue the prison. Joining us in the studio, Malik Shabazz, the family attorney, and on FaceTime from Santa Ana, California, is Ancio Robinson, the victim's older brother. I want to thank both of you for joining us. Ancio, first and foremost, how was your brother? How old was your brother? What did he do? Who was he?
My brother was 41. He was a family man. He loved to be around his children. He loved his family and his close friends. He lived in Oklahoma for, I'd say, the past 20 years with our father. His entire side of the family, they're natives from Oklahoma. He was born in California here with me on my mother's side.
He was arrested for failure to pay child support. How much did he owe?
My understanding, it was $40,000 or $50,000 of child support. The warrant was an old warrant, I believe, maybe 15, 20 years old, from what I gather.
And he goes to jail. How long was he in jail before he ended up dead?
I believe 4 days.
Malik, I want to go to you as the attorney. A video exists showing what took place. You're suing, but first and foremost, any of the folks involved, is there an investigation? Have they been charged? Anything along those lines?
We have no credible investigation going on their end, although we as the attorneys, Attorney Greg Latimer, Attorney Spencer Bryan, in a vigorous investigation. The video must be released. They're stonewalling on the video,
okay,
but the video must be released.
So the medical examiner ruled his death a homicide?
Yes.
So there's no criminal investigation going on by the DA's office, U.S. Attorney's office?
We have no record of a criminal investigation going on at this moment. The family is demanding a criminal investigation. I mean, this is an outright strangulation. As you said, they fractured the hyoid bone in his neck, meaning they not only strangled him, but they broke his neck as they asphyxiated him. The cause of death is asphyxiation by manual neck compression. So they choked him out of the oxygen and they broke the bone in his neck. So this is clearly a homicide. It's clearly a violation of his civil rights. Clearly it's excessive force. Clearly the chokeholds, which were banned in the 90s, it's not even supposed to be used. So clearly there's negligent training, there's negligent supervision, violation of constitutional rights everywhere. Criminal charges must be brought and the video must be released.
Ancio, you have not heard from police? from the DA, anyone?
Well, I actually spoke to the district attorney, Jason Hicks, down in Oklahoma. And per our conversation, he said the video was disturbing. But at this time, he would not release the video, to the family to view it.
Okay, but Ancio, did the DA say that they're actually doing an investigation?
Well, they have the OSBI supposedly investigating the incident. They were actually brought on perhaps a couple days after my brother passed away, but I've not been contacted by OSBI, the sheriff, Linus Miller.
And he died when?
My brother died April 5th.
So here we are, Malik, three months later.
3 months later.
And you've heard nothing?
There's nothing credible to say that there's a serious criminal investigation or effort to place charges, criminal charges, on the jailers, Porter, Smith, and Robinson, who murdered Darius Robinson. And so we'll be in the city on July 25th, because the efforts are ramping up, the legal efforts, a lawsuit is filed, the family and the community, and there's going to be full pressure, not only for the video to be released, but for these jailers to be held fully accountable on a civil level and a criminal level, 100%.
How many jailers were involved?
At least three, maybe more, but we have at least Porter, Smith, and Robertson that we have found out that were involved in not only strangling and taking the life from him, breaking his neck, but then also even failing to give him any kind of proper medical attention. And then when the medical personnel came, they did not even inform them on what had happened. I mean, he had vomit all the way clogging his windpipe. For 30 minutes, the EMS tried to get a breathing tube in him. It couldn't because of the amount of vomit. And the jailers, who obviously keep lying, didn't even tell the EMS that he had, that his condition was a result of trauma, is a result of strangulation. They didn't tell him what had happened, which could have saved his life. They were deliberately indifferent.
Just like in Baton Rouge, are you calling on the U.S. attorney to take over the investigation? Are you calling on the Department of Justice to also step in to participate in a civil rights probe?
We have, as attorneys, again, Spencer Bryan, Greg Latimer, the Justice Department has been asked to come in, and they say that they will do an investigation. However, as we know, we can look at Ferguson, we look at all the other cities where we've had promises by the Justice Department to take action.
But they have failed to take action. But has DOJ formally told you they are doing an investigation?
Yes, they have. Yes, they have, and we take that with a grain of salt in this hour.
Are you also calling on the U.S. attorney in that region? If you're saying that there's no credible investigation going on, are you calling on that U.S. attorney to step in to lead an investigation?
I mean, absolutely. I think the family is, and of course, as crime victims, and this is a crime, this is a federal crime, and we want to see action from the U.S. attorney's office. I mean, I got to be straight with you. It should come from the U.S. attorney's office, the Department of Justice. Action must come from the president of this United States of America. This is a national crisis,
yes,
and it must be addressed by Mr. Obama directly in this hour.
Malik Shabazz, we appreciate it. Thank you so very much. Ancio Robinson, thank you very much as well.
Thank you.
Coming up, folks, Wendy Williams says she doesn't get the NAACP being for black people only, and also says, why have HBCUs? It's time for me to respond to Wendy Williams. Next on News 1 Now on TV 1.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
Confused black people really bother me. You can add Wendy Williams to this particular pile. She was talking about Jesse Williams' speech at the BET Awards, and this is what she had to say about HBCUs and the NAACP.
His speech was very poignant on one hand. On the other hand, I would be really offended if there was a school that was known as an historically white college. We have historically black colleges. And what if there was the National Organization for White People only? There's the NAACP. national. By the way, what is the C? Color? We're still using color? Like, I get it. Look, everybody's quiet. You're leaving me out here to hang to dry by myself. One wrong word, I know. I'm choosing my words carefully, but what I'm saying is racism sucks, you know, and we can all do better.
All right, folks. I really am tired of these wannabe Stacey Dashes who clearly don't bother to actually read a book. Wendy, let me help you out. You do realize that the NAACP was founded by a mix of folks who are black and white. You do realize that the first president of the NAACP, Wendy, was white. And also, you can go down the line, the treasurer, the chairman of the executive committee, they were white, born out of the Niagara movement. If you actually bother to read something, you would realize that. It's also it's called the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. White folks have always been members of the NAACP. Always. But let me deal with HBCUs. First of all, historically black colleges and universities, Wendy, was a federal designation given in 1965 to recognize these historical universities. They are historical universities. Now, one of the reasons why you don't have historically white universities is because we just simply call them universities. The fact of the matter is, you can go around the country and you'll see universities, Wendy, they're 70, 80, 90, 95% white. We live in a world where, frankly, we have set apart if you're black. You've never heard somebody say Hillary Clinton met with a group of white pastors. No, because they simply say pastors. But they'll say she met with a group of black pastors. Because what is mainstream has always been white in America, Wendy. You should know that, right? Because you do know that for your show, you do know that you go to black ad agencies, which are different from ad agencies. You've always seen that level of separation, Wendy. But you should also know that because your ratings, they separate your black female viewers from female viewers. So it's finally interesting how you can somehow criticize that. But how about this, Wendy? You ever heard of Bluefield State University, West Virginia? Historically black college and university. It's now 70 plus percent white. Lincoln University, where Thurgood Marshall went to college, and HBCU, it's now 60% white. You do realize that 1 in 4 students at HBCU are non-African American. That's because historically black colleges and universities have given opportunities to students regardless of color, and so more Hispanics and more poor whites are taking advantage of that. See, if you actually bother to read a book and not gossip magazines, you might know these things. Wendy, let me help you out with something. When you're on TV and you have no idea what you're talking about, shut the hell up. Don't open your mouth. Don't embarrass yourself because you sound silly. But I also find it interesting that you would criticize the HBCUs and you would criticize NAACP. But you won the cover of Ebony Magazine. You won the cover of Uptown. You've been on the cover of Essence Magazine. Black magazines. Oh, yeah, I know. Stacey Dash had the exact same view. I'm tired of y'all wannabes who have television shows and radio shows who sound utterly ignorant of our own history. Please, do me a favor, stick to gossip, stick to stupid stuff, stay out of real issues, because frankly, you embarrass black people and you show you simply have never actually read a book. Gotta go to a break. Back on News 1 Now, TV 1.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Rosie Marshall. Every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
Folks, we now have a word from Department of Justice, Loretta Lynch, Attorney General. They will not be prosecuting Hillary Clinton for the email scandal. The decision was made yesterday. Here's a statement from Loretta Lynch. Quote, I met with FBI Director James Comey and career prosecutors and agents who conducted the investigation of Secretary Hillary Clinton's use of personal email system during her time as Secretary of State. I received and accepted their unanimous recommendation that the thorough year-long investigation be closed and that no charges be brought against any individuals within the scope of the investigation. Of course, that follows Comey's speech, his news conference, where he said that he did not believe that there could be a prosecution of Secretary Clinton. Got to go to a break. We'll come right back with final thoughts right here on News 1 Now TV 1.
Wherever you are, we are. Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Folks, live look right now outside of the mansion of the Minnesota governor. Real quick, Lauren, what happens next?
What happens next is we have to have higher standards for police in America, and we have to have personal accountability when they do something wrong. Without that, nothing changes.
Back to the live photo, folks. Live video, please, Huey.
Election Day 2016. State, local, federal. Get a changeable plan. Go with it.
Hillary Clinton has released a statement on Alton Sterling shooting. Donald Trump has not. Barbara?
Yes, it's time, Black folks, for us to unite. Let's use our economic power. Let's leverage it. We can't just keep doing the same thing and respecting a different result.
Malik?
Dred Scott is still in effect in 2016. We must fight on the legal front, and we must fight on every battlefront for justice.
All right, folks, we'll have more right here at News One Now on TV One as we cover Alton Sterling and other shootings. See you tomorrow.
Wherever you are, we are. Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.